So this is our Happy House Hunters Mastermind group. And so today we're just kind of troubleshooting and chatting, and we don't have any particular topic, and we're talking about Thanksgiving. And so my question that I was just getting ready to ask David and Tammy is that their kids are in Texas. So have you guys thought about buying a condo down there to where you could just like stay down there part of the year and stay up here part of the year?
We actually went down last
November.
Okay, that's right. Thanksgiving time, as a matter of fact. So okay. Last Thanksgiving we spent in Austin and did meet up with a realtor and started having him look for some short-term rentals for us. Nothing has really come of that. He's actually just kind of faded away. We didn't find a good one. But that was also at the time when Austin housing prices were still just exploding. So
yes.
Anything we found that was even relatively affordable just didn't look like it was going to work for what we wanted.
Now, have things softened up a little bit money-wise down there?
They have a little bit, but it's still significantly more expensive than the Columbus, Ohio area.
Wow. Like, wow.
And in the meantime, our oldest daughter bought a house. And she bought it's a nice house, but it's a starter house. And it was $365,000 starter house in Austin. So that's kind of where their prices start.
Okay.
But now she has a spare bedroom that she went and bought a new bed and everything for us. So we have plans to go down there in February.
February. We'll be in Austin for nearly a month, or maybe more than a month.
Okay. I get it. I love that because, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, we're doing this so we have the freedom to travel and just land wherever we want to land, whenever we want to land there. So one of the things I did here in the last couple of weeks is my girlfriend had never been to New York City, and she saw where Hugh Jackman was going to be in The Music Man. And she was like, oh, I would love to see that. And I'm like, okay, let's go see it. And she was like, really? And I said, yeah, New York's not another country. I mean, you know, I said, it's very doable. So we went to New York and we not only saw The Music Man, but we also saw Chicago, which is my favorite Broadway musical. But Music Man was right up there. It was very good. So anyhow, while we were there, of course, I was like, the only thing I would have done differently, maybe in my 20s, is that maybe I would have gone to New York to study or to, you know, or to get my first job or something, just to have that experience. And I'm of the mindset now of, you know, I can have whatever experience I want to have. So I started looking for real estate, and you can actually have a flat in New York City. Now, mind you, a tiny flat, maybe a studio flat, but you can have a flat in New York City as low as $40,000. And I'm like, really? Is that even possible? And it is. And so I just put in, you know, on Zillow, I just put in my parameters just to feel around to see what was going on there. You can get a really nice one bedroom. I mean, with new laminate floors and new countertops in the kitchen and, you know, nicely done for about $80,000. But you could go as low as $40,000 if you wanted a fixer upper, or if you wanted just a studio that maybe has been updated. And again, you don't want to have a lot to take care of because New York City gets kind of cold. So you don't really want a huge heat bill. And so being in one of those buildings where it's a flat, where you have other folks over you and around you, you know, that's going to help with your heating as well. So that's going to keep the cost down. And a lot of their HOA fees in New York City actually include the heat, because a lot of those buildings were built when they were doing the boiler type heat. So the boiler just goes on for the whole building. And so the heat's included actually in your HOA. And the HOAs ranged, the average ones was around $500 a month, which included all of your utilities, you know, other than maybe cable. You didn't have anything else to pay. And I'm thinking, why did I think, you know, all these years that having something in New York City was so out of my reach? And of course, maybe in my 20s, you know, $80,000 and $500 a month was out of my reach. But but when I look at it now, I'm like, you know what? That's actually in my reach. Now, not that I'm going to run out and buy one. Mark keeps saying, are you going to buy something in New York City? I'm like, no, because again, I don't know how often we would get there. And even at $500 a month, you know, with that kind of a cost, you can do a lot of traveling around a lot of different places without tying up that monthly amount. But it just made me feel good to know that it's that, you know what, that's within my reach. If I decided that I really wanted to do something like that, it actually is within my reach. So that was kind of a surprise, a good surprise for me. So anyway, I hope if you guys decide you're going to get something down there that you find something within your reach. I always look for something smaller whenever I'm shopping for something like that to keep it in my price point, because I just don't want a lot that I have to take care of, you mm-hmm. know, when it comes to the maintenance. I really don't want a big house and everything. The house we're in is plenty big for what I want to take care of, which brings me to my next point. I've had two roof leaks this past week. And so I'm like, well, and three counting our house, which we've already known, Mark and I, we already know we have a leak over this side porch that he's turned into a dining room. We already know we have a roof leak there. And he's been up on top and looked at it for, you know, several times now. But now that he's got the wall out, totally out, he was able to look up in there and locate where it is. So he's like, okay, now I know what I need to fix. And so, you know, we were just kind of sitting on that, if you will. But then once we had a couple other roof leaks, he was like, well, maybe your roof guy could take a look at this one, you know, instead of me getting up there. And I said, okay. So anyhow, we're just waiting for one more estimate to come in. But I had bought a little house for my mom when my mom was still with us, about eight doors down right here on Washington Street in Canal Winchester. And the guy there that's rented that for some time now, he says, I've got a leak in my kitchen, a couple spots. And he sent me pictures and they two different spots. And so I'm thinking, boy, I can't picture the top end of that roof. Is there flashing there? You know, because I thought that roof doesn't look bad. So I go down and look at it and the roof really doesn't look bad at all, but there's no flashing where it's leaking. So it's got to be leaking around the shingles. So I thought, well, I'll just call a couple of roof guys to get some professional opinions. And both so far, I'm getting three estimates, and both that have showed up so far have said to me, you need a whole new roof. They said your underlayment is popping up and it's causing the shingles to pop up. And they said, it's not just in that spot, or we could just take some shingles off and fix that. They go, it's all over the whole roof. And so they pointed out what they were looking at. And I do see it. But I wasn't in the market to spend, you know, $6,000-$7,000 right now. But they said, yeah, you need a whole new roof. So I've got one more estimate to come in, and then I have to make a decision and bite the bullet. One thing with these houses, as we all know, they do run on money with whatever happens. But again, we've owned that house for over 10 years and we've never put a roof on it. And I don't know how old the roof was before we bought the house. And so I really can't complain when it's something that we haven't replaced yet and that we've had it and it's been cash flowing. And so I really can't be too upset, if you know what I mean. But, and again, it's never a good time to put on a $6,000-$7,000 roof, but it is what it is. And then I had just finished paying off a brand new flat roof, rubber roof over in Groveport on the salon. And the girl over there, the owner of the salon, I just gave away the salon to her because I was, of course, after the rental income from the building. And so she took over being the owner of the business. And so now all the staff in there pays booth rent to her. And then she just pays one rent payment to me, which is what I wanted. But so she calls me up because she knew I had just put the roof on, and she goes, oh, you're not going to be happy. And I said, why? And so she showed me there's a little puddle on her floor. She says, your brand new roof is leaking. And I'm like, oh boy. So I called the company that did that one, and he immediately went out and he said the drain on the top end was clogged up, and he really couldn't see where it was coming in because water was sitting on top. And so he cleaned out the drain and got it to drain. And now he's going to go back out and see if he can see if there's a seam or something somewhere where that came in. And it wasn't very much. So it's not going to be a big job, even if he has to patch a seam or repair something, because there was just a little puddle on the floor. And he said there was tons of water sitting up there on that roof. So he said what little bit found its way in, it wasn't very much. So anyway, so I'm just waiting to hear from him. But he said, I'm still under warranty and not to worry about it, that they'll fix it as soon as they find it. So that's my dilemma this week. And of course, Tammy and David, you were there and you got to see my presentation at Profit with Real Estate.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any more speaking gigs coming up for the rest of this year. So I'm kind of clear for the month of November, December. And so
that's not saying a whole lot anymore. It's amazing how fast this year has gone by.
I know. But Mark and I are off to Florida again in December. So I'll be coming to you from the condo down there. And we're hoping to get out on the trails a little bit, at least get some walking in, maybe some bike riding, but definitely some walking. So that's the plan.
That sounds like us. We don't really have any more plans for the rest of this year for, you know, real estate. We figured we got our property in, got it fixed up and rented. So we're just going to relax the rest of this month and next month. Next month, we're going on vacation with our kids for 2 weeks.
Where are you going?
Hawaii.
That's right. I remember you saying that. So you leave in December.
Yeah, we leave, I don't remember. We get back the day before Christmas, or maybe it was Christmas Eve that we get back.
Okay, you're going the same time we are. We get back the 24th. Yep.
Yeah. And then we'll be home for the month of January, I think. And then we're going, like I said, to visit our kids in February for 3 weeks. And then we also have a meeting we're going to in Austin Houston, Texas, the following week. So we may be just staying with our kids until that meeting is available.
Isn't it nice that you can do that? Isn't it nice that you can do that? Now, because we have the mastermind group, this is where it gets good, is that you can lean on some of the other members to be there for you when you're out of town. So if you have an emergency, you know, you can go, hey, I need somebody to go over and fix a toilet that's leaking or whatever. And so we're in a dance group. And so there's another couple in our dance group that also has the same number of doors that we have. And they're getting ready to do a cruise with his mother, and she's older and she loves to cruise. And so they decided to make it a family event. And so they're children are coming and grandchildren, and it's going to be a whole family cruise. And I said, who's going to handle your rentals while you're gone? And they were like, we're really hoping that nothing happens. And I said, but what if something does? And I said, just put my phone number in your phone just in case, because they're going to get a Wi-Fi package on the cruise so that they can tap into their messages and stuff. And I said, just save my phone number just in case you need to get some eyes on the ground. You never know what could happen. And I said, so just, you got to have some folks to call. So they were like, wow, yeah, okay, thanks for that. And so it's kind of nice to know that you've got somebody in your corner that understands the real estate enough to know that they can put a Band-Aid on something at least until you get back, if it's nothing that's an emergency.
Right.
And sometimes it's just a little thing, you know, the wind caught the screen door or the toilet's leaking, or, you know, sometimes it's just something that needs some attention that you don't want it to sit and, you know, you don't want the toilet leaking through the ceiling for 8 weeks till you get back, you know, one of those. So anyway, so keep my phone number.
Always.
because again, my son-in-law he's learning his way around in the business. And so, you know, he knows enough to at least go take a look at something and say it's out of his league. Sure. or something he can handle, but it's just nice to have him in your back pocket.
Right.
Yeah. So
I think last year we were on vacation in Mexico at a water park, and we got a call from a tenant about, I don't remember, something plumbing related. But fortunately, we've called Pipeworks enough that David had their phone number in his phone, and So he called them from Mexico and said, call our tenant and please go deal with that. And they did.
Yes. And you know what? And I've done the same thing. And that's very, very handy. And again, I always call on Matt first because he can go out immediately. Sometimes Pipeworks says we can get to you Thursday or something. Sure. And Matt can usually go right away. But if it's a bigger project and Matt doesn't feel that he can handle it, then I always have Pipeworks in my back pocket as well. So I get that. Right. But I've got my favorite roof guy. I've got my favorite HVAC guy, especially in the wintertime, you know, with the HVAC. And then I've got Pipeworks as my favorite plumbers. And so, you know, and anything else Matt can handle, you know, if it's a window that sticks or a screen door that the wind caught or something like that, Matt can handle pretty much everything else, or a loose rail on something or a loose board on a porch, whatever, he can kind of fix all that. So it's just handy to have that in mind before you leave town. And I was kind of shocked with this couple, our dance couple, that said, nope, we just tell people to wait till we get back. And I'm like, well, that's all fine and good, unless it's like a seal on a toilet leaking on an upstairs unit. What do you do then?
Right.
You know, or a refrigerator that quits working, you know, I mean, what do? You know, if you have a tenant that says, well, I don't, you know, you're supplying the refrigerator and a refrigerator. And I've had that happen. You know, and so we want to replace that sooner than later, because we don't want to have to pay for all their food and all that, and for them to, you know, have to eat out at a restaurant because they can't have any food. So anyway, you get it. So keep those numbers handy. And again, that list is always in the mastermind group. So do you travel with a tablet or someplace where you can tap into the internet? Yeah. Yeah. So you could always get to that list if you had to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we keep adding. So if you guys have anybody to add to the list, send a text me if you've got some good ones, and we'll add them in there, because it's so handy for the rest of us, especially some of the newbies. It's so handy to have those names and phone numbers in case they do have an emergency, because finding the right person is the toughest part, as we all know.
Mm-hmm. I think you have all of ours. We've been fortunate enough not to need to find any new ones lately. So,
well, and again, once you go through all of the problems and you have everything fixed, there's, you know, it's like me. What I thought I was done with roofs for a minute. I want to start on windows. I want to start getting some, you know, some new windows in some buildings. And so I was going to touch base with you guys and say, who do you recommend for windows? Because I've got my properties kind of mentally lined up on which ones have the worst windows. And I've got about four different properties that over time I need to put new windows in about four different properties. And I know which one I need to start with. And I was hoping to do that, but looks like I'm going to be putting a roof on a house instead. But anyway, you get it. So who's your favorite window guy?
We don't have a favorite window guy. We did whole house, you know, whole house full of windows on one of the properties that we purchased last year or the year before. So on that one, the flipper was actually still working on it. So we went through him, just ordered from his window guy and had his crew put them in. Price was right. Don't know that I'd recommend them.
Okay. Good to know.
The other windows that we've done, I've put in, and I definitely wouldn't recommend me.
That's like, good that's job. Like, he's just slow.
Well, that's like Mark. Mark did all the windows there in Sandusky on that lead abatement property. Yeah, he's marked that off of his list of career choices of replacing windows. So I get it. Yeah. So Mark could do it, but it, you know, who wants, you know, that's like having another job.
We did do at our newest property, we did siding, and I think they do siding and windows, and it was Supreme Exterior. You do have it listed under siding for Ezra Heigel is the guy's name, but his company name is Supreme Exterior. And I don't know that they're the cheapest, but they were fast.
If they're doing windows, that means that they might be fast on windows as well.
we got a quote from them, just like a verbal quote from David's, you know, measurements or whatever. And
okay.
I don't even think they came out, and they said, we'll be out next week to give you a quote. And we showed up at the time we thought they were going to be there for the quote. And there were five guys already on site that had already started the job. And they're like, oh yeah, the verbal quote is good enough. So we thought, all right, well, we weren't expecting him for another 2 weeks to start the job.
So we had them finish some siding. The house had been sided, but they never did anything with the soffits or trimming out around the windows. So we had them basically finishing the siding job. And then they also do concrete. So they poured a new walkway and some stairs for us.
Okay.
And they came out and started that earlier than we expected as well.
Yep.
Like they said,
we'll be there
next week. And then one day Ryan Saygraves that was doing our repairs said, hey, the siding guy or the concrete guys are here. So we thought, wow, that's a whole week early.
Well, you know what? That's good to know, because, you know, sometimes when you have some issues, it's better to be sooner than later. So that's a good thing. So it looks like under Supreme Exterior that I could list them under siding, under check to see if they do windows, but also under concrete.
Definitely. Yes.
They do windows, siding, do roof, windows. Siding, roofing, windows, and concrete.
Okay. So siding, roof, windows. They do roofs too, huh?
Yep.
Maybe I should get a quote there.
Yeah, they run, they actually run two crews. So they have a concrete business and then a exterior, you know, the roof siding business, both under the Supreme Exterior parent company.
All right. Good to know. Good to know. And you were happy with their work.
Yeah.
What they did for you. Okay.
Absolutely.
And their prices were what you were expecting? Okay.
Yeah. They fit our budget.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know how much better we could have done. I know we couldn't have done anywhere near as quick with anybody else. I mean, I would have probably waited just as long to get other people out there to give me an estimate as it took them to finish the job. So.
Okay. And you know what? Again, there's something to be said for that, especially when you're flipping, for folks that are flipping. That's definitely a good lead to have in your back pocket. So
it was all holding costs at that point. It was definitely wanted to get it done.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. See, all of mine are rented, so I'm good with that. But you don't need somebody showing up and then having windows out and spreading the job way out when somebody's living there. You want it to get done and let your tenants get back to their normal routine and not have these windows projects going on forever.
Well, and that's a very good point. That's another thing that the owner said. They send enough guys out to get the job done basically same day. So, I mean, with concrete, it might take an extra day because got to let that stuff cure a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, they don't just send one guy out to get things started and then, you know, put a tarp over it. He sends the crew. So we only have, you know, the one house. I guess there's two jobs. We don't have extensive experience, but nothing but good things to say from the experience we do have.
All right. Well, good to know. Good to know. So you're going to be doing some traveling. You got your properties pretty well buttoned up. Everything's rented. Everything's good as far as maintenance issues, as far as you know, to this point.
Right.
And, yep.
So life is good for you guys, and financially life is good. And so when are you going to jump on the next deal, do you think?
We're having our official annual meeting in Austin in Hawaii this December, but probably we'll get another new property next year. We're not sure.
Okay. So you're still adding, you're still planning on adding.
Yeah.
Okay.
So really the question is the pace that we want to add, and then do we want to keep doing what we're doing or look at some things like you're talking about, getting short-term rentals at different places we might like to visit? Because, I mean, that's very appealing for a lot of reasons, but of course now it means you have to buy property that you can't see on a regular basis. So
Well, and I kind of like the condo, but it's a double-edged sword because on one hand, it's turnkey living. You don't need to worry about the roof and you don't, you know, and usually you've got an interior unit. So you're not worried about siding and windows and all of that because it's very limited. And again, you've got usually a maintenance person on site. So if there's a leak somewhere, they're right on it because they don't want damage through all these units. And so it's kind of a win-win, but then again, it's a double-edged sword because then on the other side of the coin, at the stroke of a pen, the HOA can say, you can't short-term rent it or mid-term rent it or whatever, you have to live here. And, you know, and then you're like, now what do I do? Now there are some ways to get around that. And there's some, I've been in a couple of groups and they are, and I don't, there's going to come a time that the HOAs are going to catch on to this, but right now, they're saying you can actually create a lease with like a lease purchase where it makes your renter, especially on like a snowbird type renter in Florida where they're there for 3 or 4 months, you know, several weeks, or in a midterm like visiting nurses, where you can actually put them on the type of a lease that kind of makes them an owner while they're there. And then if they leave, they forfeit the dollar they paid or whatever. Right. And what it does is it legally takes care of the fact whether they can be there or not, but probably for short term that wouldn't work where you're just renting it by the number where people are coming in every, because again, a lot of those HOAs, they want to do their own background check because they're in that community. You know, it's such a closed community that they want to do their own background check. I'm concerned about my little cottage down at the campgrounds, if my two guys ever leave, on whether they're going to let me continue to use that as a rental or not. I don't know whether I'm considered grandfathered in or not. It depends on how they word that HOA clause.
I'm curious about that too, because I've seen a lot of properties go up for sale in the campgrounds in the past 6 months.
Because what happened, I had a condo here right outside of Canal Winchester, right on the edge of Canal Winchester at Gender Park. And that's where I lived when Mark and I met. So once we decided to buy a house together, I looked at the HOA and they said, yes, you're allowed the long-term rent, but not short-term. Well, I didn't want a short-term at the time. So I said, okay, that's fine. So I had a girlfriend that I knew that was looking for a place and she rented it for a couple of years from me. And so then I thought, yay, I'm grandfathered in. So no matter what the HOA does, I'm in, you know, as a rental. And finally, I got a letter and it said, you're grandfathered in as long as you have your renter. So I'm like, okay, I read that to say, as long as I have a renter, I'm good. And then they said, no. What that means is as long as you have that renter. They go, if that renter moves out, then you go to the bottom of the stack and we're only going to allow, because they didn't want to lose their condo status. They said, we're only going to allow a certain percentage of rentals in the entire complex. They said, so if your renter moves out and you don't get your unit rented and somebody else comes in and has a rent, they said, and then it bumps you out of the percentage, they go, then you can't rent yours again. Ooh. I'm like, what? Well, that's exactly what happened. She then eventually bought a house and moved on. And so then I was going to, you know, rent it again, and you have to put a sign inside the window. You can't have it out, you know, you all the stuff in an HOA. And I got the call and they said, no, we've already reached our quota. You can't rent yours. So I still had a mortgage on it. Mark and I had already bought a house. And I'm like, well, we're not going to live there. We're going to live here. So I ended up selling it. Mm-hmm. Because at the time I didn't know the options on how I could get around it. So now what I know is that I could have written a lease purchase option, see, and put a renter in there, even if they had no intention on ever purchasing. And then it shows that they were purchasing. See, then they'd go through the background check and they would be the owners and just paying me, which is what a renter was doing. So knowing now what I didn't know then, I probably could have kept that.
But you're right. Now we're just waiting for the HOAs to catch on and then for some attorney to figure out the concise language to write into the HOA.
That you can no longer do a lease purchase. That disallows a lease purchase. Exactly. So anyway, so the only other option is to put the condo into an LLC and have the LLC own the condo. And then your renter would simply have a percentage of ownership in the LLC and just have that one unit in that one LLC. So that way they don't own anything else. They own, you know, a dollar share in that one LLC, which makes them an owner.
Right.
So it's owner occupied. And so I'm not sure, you know, that an attorney can really break that at some point. The only thing they could say then,
selling properties to LLCs.
Right. Yeah. But there's a thing, you know, again, they would have to have that in their HOA that an LLC could not own a property there. So anyway, so I don't know how it's going to unfold, but those are the dilemmas we all face. So
keeps this business interesting.
It sure does. So anyway, Kyle, tell us what's up with you. What are you doing for the holidays? Where are you traveling next? What's up with you?
No holiday travel plans other than just to back home to Mansfield. But in the new year, might be going to LA for a couple of weeks. My Uncle Teddy is retiring from Disney and moving back home, and he needs help packing and driving a U-Haul cross country. So that's kind of what's on the horizon for me.
That's a big cross, but that's a big cross country trip. Wow. Now, does he already have a place he's going to move to? Does he already have some things lined up?
Actually, yeah, he's going to buy that duplex that I had listed in
You're cutting out a little bit, Kyle, so I don't know if you're where you're driving, but we lost you for a little bit there.
For quite a long time from my other uncle, Victorian home. And my plan is house hack and not have a while.
Well, it sounds like you've got your plate full for a minute. So when are you actually going out to help him pack?
Sometime in January or February. We don't know exactly yet because he has to wait for his retirement distribution. And they said that could take anywhere between 4 and 8 weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, it looks like we all have some travel plans then. In January, we're headed to down to Savannah area, to Paris Island, Hilton Head, Savannah, Paris Island, all right in that area, because my grandson graduates from boot camp from the Marines in January. So we're headed down for his graduation. So it looks like we're all going to be out and about. I love it. That's why we're doing it. Yay. That's why we're doing this, so we can have the freedom to go where we want to go and do what we want to do. I have a question for those of you on the call. What is a good night? I want to combine and go back to our original platform. I want to combine the monthly meetup where we talk about finding, funding, fixing, all of that with the meet and greet. And I want to combine that. And I want to do the first week or the last week of the month. And what is the best day for everybody where it doesn't interfere with other things that you're doing?
Probably the day between Monday and Tuesday.
I think the first week and the last week were not, well, not a Wednesday. But the first week and the last week were not so busy. It's that middle of the month where we have coin, profit with real estate, happy house hunters.
Yep. I get all of that. I was thinking, and because the first Tuesday is when Corey has their meet up is on the first Tuesday, which falls on our first Tuesday. So I was thinking maybe the first Thursday of every month. I don't know how that, might play out for everybody.
I think that one should be okay.
Okay. And then again, with the exception of January, because that's when we're in That's when we're in Dakota's graduation. So I might have to go to the second week that one time. And then, but you guys are traveling in January anyway, right? When do you go
February.
In
January?
Oh, you go in February. Kyle, when do you go in January?
He's not sure. January or not February.
Sure. Sometime in January or February. Yeah.
So you're not sure yet of your leave date. So, all right. So I am leaning toward, and again, I haven't carved it in stone yet, but I am leaning toward the first Thursday of every month at Gresso's. And I'm going to talk with them and see if we can get the upstairs again.
So this is instead of the last Thursday of the month, we're going to move it to the first Thursday.
It would be because we're doing the first Tuesday and the fourth Thursday, and I want to combine those together. Okay. And I don't know if we can have Thursdays or not, but you said not Wednesdays for you.
Not Wednesdays.
And I can't remember. What did we do way back in the day? What day did we meet on? Because when we had the upstairs, I'm pulling out happy house.
We never met upstairs. We joined after COVID.
Okay. I'm looking to see, because we had sometimes as many as 50 people up there. I was looking to see if I could leaf back through some old notes here and see if I couldn't find an actual day of the week. Boy, way back in 2021, we still were the first Tuesday. So that didn't help. Looking that up didn't help. Boy, and I can't remember prior to that. And Kyle, I don't know that you were real active prior to that because Stephanie was the one that was showing up all the time.
Yeah, I only came to one when it was upstairs and it was packed. It was standing room only.
I know. Do you remember what day of the week that was? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I can't remember.
Not a clue.
So I might have to just go back through my calendar and see if I can't find something because in my folder, it shows that starting in January 2021. So I'll do some homework on that because it seems like the guy at Gresso said that other group had the room upstairs on Thursdays. He was hoping that we would grow fast enough that we could boot him out of there because he said they never order any food and we do. So he was hoping that we would get some bigger numbers so that he could tell them he could no longer give them the room. So anyway, we'll see. I'll do a little more homework on that, but I can't remember, but again, the Tuesday is the Corey group. And so I've got some members that go, well, we would come to yours, but we're doing the Corey instead. And they said, we're all involved in that group. And so we always go there on the first Tuesday. So anyway, so that's where I'm at with it, but I want to combine that into one meetup and then we'll still do our boots on the ground separate because that'll just be for the mastermind. And, sure. And if you guys have any properties that you want to look at, you know, just let Kyle know and he'll get you in there. And if I had some more midterm in that complex where I have that one condo, I would probably have to buy those because I've got about 20 people on a list that would love to have that particular unit. And I have a guy moving out now and the new guy's moving in the very next day. And I've done that 3 times now since I've owned it. Is I haven't even had a full day in between.
Wow.
And I'm renting it for twice what I would normally get for long-term. So it's really pretty darn perfect.
So besides flipping more often and obviously having to furnish it, you know, those are, you know, the furnishings, mm-hmm. upfront cost. Do you have to do anything else are you providing anything else to the tenant while they're there?
No, I leave like kitchen stuff, kitchenware. So I decorate it and outfit it like you would a short-term rental.
Okay.
So there's extra towels and bed linens and dishes and silverware and pots and pans and all of that is in place, as well as all of the furniture.
But you don't provide any like weekly house cleaning or?
No. Now I provide, I'll call it the hardware. I provide a broom and a sweeper. So that they don't have to haul that stuff from wherever they live to clean this midterm. I have a closet where, or a lot like a laundry room where I keep that stuff, but I do not supply the reusables. I don't supply, but now, and then I'll say that and then I'll come back and clarify. I don't supply like toilet paper and paper towels and saran wrap and, you know, all of the stuff that they're using up and throwing away. What I do though, because I don't want them to have their first chore of having to go to the store the day they move in, I do provide them, and it's a, I get a pretty big gift bag and just from the dollar store. And I put in like a package of like four rolls of toilet paper and two rolls of paper towel and some dish soap and some bar soap and some shampoo and some coffee and creamer. And I make it a gift. And then I leave that in the middle of the table, the kitchen table, with a nice card that says, you know, welcome to the midterm rental. I call mine Leaf Apple Lane. So welcome to Leaf Apple Lane. And then I say, here is, you know, a gift to help you get started so that you don't have to run to the store today. And they've all said, oh my gosh, that was so helpful, you know, because they would have had to have gone to the store to get toilet paper and dish right. soap and whatever they needed. And so that way they can settle in for a few days before they have to worry about a store run.
Right.
Right.
And so anyway, so that's what I do. And that kind of lets them also know that I don't supply this. This is a gift. See, that way, because if I put it all away, they're going to open up the cupboard and go, oh my gosh, she supplies the toilet paper and the paper towels. And, you know, and then they're going to call me up and go, hey, I'm out of toilet paper now. Hey, I'm out of paper towels. Hey, I'm out of dish soap. And so that's why I put it that way in a gift bag with a note that says, this is a gift to help you get started. Is that helpful? And I've got it. And I've got a list. I've got an actual list of what goes in the gift bag. So if I'm traveling, Jennifer, my daughter, can go, and she just goes to the dollar store and she'll just pick up like a little tiny dish soap and she'll pick up like maybe six laundry pods in a little bag. You know, she just goes to the dollar store and fills up that gift bag with stuff from the dollar store.
Nice.
But it is a way to help them get started.
No, I appreciate that. We do a little gift bag or basket for our new long-term tenants also, you know, very similar stuff. But yeah, I was just wondering, as you talk about the difference in rent that you get between the long-term and the midterm, obviously there's also a difference in startup costs, but I was wondering if there was any, doesn't sound like, other than more frequent flips, that there's any other additional work involved.
No more work involved, but you are paying utilities.
Sure.
Yeah. So generally what I find is if you're going to have a mortgage, the long-term rent will cover all your expenses. It'll cover the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance, the HOA fee. It'll cover all and the utilities. It'll cover all your expenses. So then by the time you double that whole second long-term rent money that you've doubled is now your cash flow. So what I like to say is if you have a property that you have a mortgage on and it's not cash flowing quite enough, you'd like it to cash flow more and all the other numbers work for you, midterm rental might be the way to go just to increase the cash flow on that unit. So if you've got a mortgage that you're paying, sometimes that eats up that first long-term rent money. By the time you add the rent and or the mortgage payment and the taxes and the insurance and the utilities, you put that all together and you're like, well, there's no cash flow. So what's the point? By the time you midterm rent it, it makes it doable. It makes the numbers work. So anyway, so that works for me. I bought that one to be a midterm to give it a try because I knew if that didn't work, and if for some reason people were like, no, that's too far from all the hospitals, or we don't like that area, or I just can't seem to keep it rented with the midterm, I could always go back to long term. And it didn't cash flow very much, but again, I would stop paying the utilities. That would help the cash flow because then the long term renter would pay their own utilities. But it was, the numbers worked either way. The numbers work better as a midterm, but they worked either way.
Sure.
I think you have to always have, you know, that out, so to speak. You have to have plan B.
Well, we always analyze for long-term. So, you know, I guess we'll call it worst case. Then assuming that, you know, if that works, that all of the better cases would as well.
And the other thing that I said to myself too, was if I only rented this midterm for half the time, it would still equal what I would have gotten long-term.
It's true.
Because if I rented it for 6 months at twice the rent, instead of 12 months at one times the rent,
right,
that comes out the same. So I wasn't too concerned if I had a little bit of a gap in between my midterm renters, but I haven't. And this last one, and here's where it really gets the sweet spot for me. The guy says, well, I'm coming December 4th out of Lansing, Michigan to start my new assignment. And I said, I don't have my midterm until December 18th because my other guy doesn't leave until December 17th on his assignment. And he goes, wow, I'm going to look around and see if I can find another place to stay, even if I just, you know, like land with the buddy somewhere on his couch for the first 2 weeks until I can get into your unit. And I said, I have a better deal than that. I said, for an extra 10-minute drive, I said, you can stay at the Caraway guest house for the same exact price as you would in the midterm rental. And I said, the only difference is you're not going to have a kitchen the first 2 weeks. I said, but then as soon as that guy moves on the 17th, you can have the unit on the 18th. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's perfect. And he goes, is there any way I could come down and see it just to make sure it's what I want? So he came down this past weekend. I gave him a room here at the guest house for free because he was coming down to look at my unit. He loved it. He signed a lease. We're ready to go. And he is actually going to come in here on December 4th. And he's just going to stay in one of the guest rooms here at our home for the first 2 weeks. And then as soon as the unit is ready, he's going to move into the unit. Not everyone has that option that I have. That's
nice vertical integration you've got there.
Yeah, that's a nice little win-win for me. And I just went in as soon as I offered that to him and he indicated that that might work, I immediately went in and held a room. And instead of making him sign in through the short-term rental, you know, which is a higher rate, I am just going to set him right up in the lease for the midterm. And I just wrote in the margin that the first 2 weeks he is at 156 Washington. And then effective this date, he moves over to the Leaf Apple. And he's going to pay the same rent the whole time.
Nice.
That is nice.
Yeah. So it's a win-win. It's a win for him. And guess what? It was the 2 weeks that we were going to be in Florida and I wasn't going to rent the room at all. And now I'm renting the room for $325 a week and I wasn't going to be here and rent it at all. So now I get another $650 in my pocket. He gets the house to himself.
Oh.
And so there you go.
There you go.
So anyway, it's a win-win. So I love that. And sometimes you can do that. And especially if you've got more than one midterm rental, which is why I'd like to have more in that same complex, because oftentimes these traveling medical professionals, they don't travel with a lot of stuff. And I could have a gap in one unit before this other unit comes open. And I could actually put somebody in one unit. And then when the other one that is going to be open for their time frame, I could move them over, you know, if I'm just waiting for somebody to move on. So if you have more than one unit, you have that option to move people around. And the traveling medical professionals don't mind that because they travel pretty light anyway. And so they don't mind having to move, you know, it once wouldn't be a problem. Probably moving a couple of times during an assignment wouldn't be a problem. So it gives you options. I love it. I love that stuff, figuring out all that. That's where my background of running a healthcare agency, where everything was a moving target, you know, the aides were always moving around and the clients were always moving around and the aide's car didn't start or her kids were sick or the client didn't need service that day because their daughter was taking them to dinner or whatever. And so everything was a moving target. So I got used to doing all that. So that was kind of fun for me to figure that all out.
It all sounds fun, but we're not quite as far along as you are in your journey. So we're still heavy.
I've been at it a while, so yeah, I get it.
Yeah, we're still having the issues with finding enough money to get everything we want.
Right. All I want is everything.
Exactly.
So are you talking everything you want in real estate or in life
just
in general?
Just in general. Mm-hmm. But real estate, you know, we would like to scale faster, but we do only have so much money to be able to put down payments on the properties. So,
well, it took me, gosh, 25 years. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
I'm not that patient.
Yeah. I didn't scale, but again, I was still working. I didn't scale very fast because again, I had to wait to get equity in the first property before I could leverage the equity to get the next one. Right. And so I was, as you saw my presentation the other night, I was almost 10 properties in before I could even pay cash for something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it takes time.
Yeah. We complain, would like to be able to scale faster. We're always wondering, you know, how are we going to get the capital for this or that? And we've always managed, we know we can come up with it if it's something that we absolutely love and adore and want. Mm-hmm. We're not passing up on the grand slam deals. We're just means that it's hard to do everything that we'd like to do. Any rate, though, we do know that we're very fortunate to have been able to leave our W-2 jobs. Mm-hmm. It makes us, I'll tell you, we really admire some of these go-getters who are out there scaling their portfolios very quickly and their businesses while holding down a full-time job.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's.
Well, that, and also I don't want to work that hard.
This is passive income. it takes work.
I had a conversation the other day with one of our mastermind members and it was a gal and she was like, oh, you've got the bed and breakfast. You could have weddings and you could do retirement dinners and you could have symposiums and conferences. And I'm thinking, well, first of all, we're zoned residential. So the city really doesn't want me to do all that. And second of all, I don't want to work that hard.
I really don't want to work that hard.
You're not going to add event planner to your resume?
No, absolutely not. So anyway, well, this has been a lot of fun. Kyle, any comments or last minute information from you? Any hot properties that we need to take a look at this week?
Nothing particular, but, you know, talking about owning a little condo in Manhattan and Miami and Vegas and LA and wherever else, you know, that sounds amazing. But Columbus is still, you know, ripe for investment. We are still $100,000 behind the national average. The average home value here did rise to like 270, but we are still 100,000 behind the national average. So still a sweet spot to invest.
And there's still some deals out there that are really good deals. I mean, I look at real estate every day. I can't help myself. I love it. I love everything about it. And I'm constantly looking, you know, in a bigger area, because we would love to have a place like around Gatlinburg or Nashville. And of course, I love New York City. I like the whole Niagara Falls area. So I'm always looking all around. And if something fell in my lap, you know, if a hot deal fell in my lap that I couldn't pass up, I'd have to make an offer. That's just the way it is. That's how I got the condo in Florida. And so, yeah, I looked often enough that I kind of know what the market is in that area and all those little pockets that we're kind of looking in. So if something fell in my lap that was like an unbelievable price, I'd probably have to grab it. The condo in Florida, everything was in the $120,000 to $150,000 range for a one bedroom. And this one went on the market for $52,000.
Oh, wow.
And so I kept saying, what is wrong with that condo? And I kept circling back to it and I could tell it wasn't updated, but how much does it take to update a one bedroom, 576 square foot condo? You know, four rooms, you know, living room, dining room, kitchen, a little bathroom and a bedroom. That's the whole thing. And I thought, you know, if you put all new flooring and all new wall coverings and all new windows, I mean, the whole unit has like four windows because it's a it's a middle unit. So there's only like two windows in the back and two in the front. And so I'm thinking, how expensive could that be to update that unit? So I finally circled back and had to grab it because I thought, I'm never going to get a deal like that. And so now there's nothing in that price range down there. Now those 125 to 150s are now up to 180s or over 200. And there's nothing else coming on the market that I've seen even close to what I paid for that. So yeah, if something like that fell in my lap, I'd have to probably pull the trigger. So just saying. So I don't look to have a flat in New York, but I'll keep you posted.
Probably by the end of next year.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I've got some windows to do and roofs. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. All right, guys. Well, listen, anything you need, just give me a call anytime. Send me a text, whatever. I'm always available. I'm always available for the mastermind group. And Kyle, if any hot deals fall in your lap, pass them on. Any last comments from anyone?
Well, thank you for your time today.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you guys for jumping on. And happy holidays. Yes. Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone. And I will keep you posted about what we're going to do. We're December is a light month. You'll notice if you go to my calendar at kathybenner.com and scroll down to the calendar of events or go to the little menu to the calendar, you'll see that we have our holiday party on the 8th. So save the date and see you on the 8th. And then we've kind of postponed a lot of those other events because December just gets crazy. So with family stuff. So anyway, keep in touch and we'll see everybody at the holiday party.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye, guys.